This is the G. Gordon Liddy Show with special guest Joseph Farah.
Yes, it's Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily sitting in for the G-Man today. 1-800-GG-LIDDY is the number if you'd like to join us. You know, I gave a little introduction to something that's been on my mind for a long time, just in the last hour. And it is the subject of whether the conservative movement is dead. D-O-A. And I mentioned that, you know, there are three things that a successful political movement has to have in order to be successful. One is a definition of success. Goals. Another is an offensive agenda for achieving that success, not just a defensive one. And a long-term battle plan for cultural renewal, not just short-term political victories. Those are the three elements that I think are missing from the conservative movement. I mentioned on the first score that conservatives have just not been successful at painting a picture of what they want America to look like in the future. I mean, they can tell you some specific things that they want to see. They want to see more personal responsibility, less government. They want to see free enterprise as opposed to socialism. But the details and how that is translated to the American people, there's just something lacking there. There's little consensus among those who define themselves as conservatives about how much less government they want, how much they are willing to rely on personal responsibility in a world stricken with moral rot, and when free enterprise simply becomes avaricious multinational corporatism. The most serious deficiency I see in conservatism is that it offers no offensive agenda. It's a well-meaning ideology. Believe me, as they say, some of my best friends consider themselves conservatives. I no longer do. Because conservatism fights, it seems to me, exclusively on defense. Now, you know, except in maybe in football, you cannot win with defense alone. You can't win a battle with defense alone. You can't win a war with defense alone. You cannot win a political struggle with defense alone. Now, the very term conservative strongly connotes the defensive nature of the movement itself. It's about conserving rather than advancing. It's about holding on to turf rather than taking new ground. Conservatives too often define themselves by what they are against rather than what they are for. And this is, I think, very evident in the presidential election ahead of us. I mean, it's understandable in a world literally dominated by socialism, moral relativism, and tyranny. Further, conservatism is a movement almost exclusively limited to the battleground of politics. And those who conservatives oppose, call them what you will, don't have to win elections to achieve their goals. It helps. But they press their agenda through the culture. They use the press, the entertainment industry, the major foundations, government-sponsored media, the education system, academia, to change the way people think. And when that fails, they use government agencies and the courts to literally force their will on the people. Now, with rare exceptions, conservatives don't engage the major cultural institutions. They criticize them, but they do little to take them over and to use them to their advantage. This is what I think is the fundamental failure of the conservative movement. And as a recipe for the future, I think it is important to develop more of a change agenda, for a radical plan to restore freedom, morality, and justice to our nation. Do you share my concern about the future of the conservative movement. 1-800-GG-LIDDY is the number to join us. And I, you know, I understand it's difficult to throw away, to discard convenient, self-assuring labels in what appears to be a world of essentially dualistic choices, liberal and conservative, Democrat and Republican, Tweedledee and Tweedledum. But if you doubt what I'm saying, just consider this year's presidential election choices. My dear, beloved conservative friends out there, I approach you in love and respect today to urge some sober reflection, if you will. I know that you love America's founding fathers. I think it's time to start living like them. Were they conservatives? Was there anything conservative about what they did? Mark in Albany, New York. By the way, Mark, do you know that the English acquired your town from the Dutch in 1664, named it Albany in honor of James II, Duke of Albany? A 1686 document issued by Thomas Dungan granted Albany its official charter. This date makes Albany the second oldest city in the nation in terms of its date of incorporation after New Amsterdam. I just thought you'd like to know.
Oh, that's really a good thing to know about one of America's oldest cities. I appreciate that information.
And what's on your mind today?
Well, I'd just like to say that I wake up every morning thankful that I'm an American and that I live in America, the greatest country in the world. And I think that you're exactly right about having a direction to go with America's core values. And I believe those values to be conservative and to also be values that would instill liberty in all people of the world. I'm just really grateful today to know that in my heart, I've decided that there's at least one man that is running, and not necessarily just one, but that truly loves America and truly has a direction in mind to lead America to a place of peace and prosperity. And I'm willing to be patient to listen for the ideas and the policies that are going to take that direction.
And who would that one man be?
John McCain.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. Because we all should have somebody that we can believe in. What is it about John McCain that stirs your heart and passion?
Well, mostly it's that when I hear him speak, I see a larger picture of the political process, and I just feel that he has such a deep knowledge, and the things that he says resonate to my understanding of how American politics work and whether or not it's honest and sincere.
Let me throw some challenges your way, Mark, just for to play the devil's advocate here for a moment. Many people, especially on the conservative side, were very concerned about John McCain for a number of reasons, one of them being the McCain-Feingold legislation, which, as you know, limits political speech in this country prior to elections. What is your response to that? How do you feel about McCain-Feingold, and why can you just kind of put that aside? It obviously does not change your mind about your candidate.
Well, I realize that politicians aren't perfect people, and that they do sometimes things that are beyond my understanding, and I realize that there are people who have a deeper understanding of politics. I'm not really making my choice to support and to believe in John McCain as our next president because of having an understanding to be able to pick out reasons why he's not as conservative as, say, the most conservative a political activist would prefer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a disagreement with that, but I have heard him say that I am sure that I've made decisions that the conservative base does not agree with, but I'm willing to try.
Did it concern you when John McCain voted against against Bush's tax cuts and, in fact, joined with Teddy Kennedy in opposing him? Now he says he's all for putting them in place permanently, but does it bother you when you look back at his record and see things like that? I'm assuming, of course, that you would support tax cuts.
You know what? I pay my taxes just like, you know, all the other Americans, and I do support whatever the president chooses, and I like the idea of tax cuts, but I do my best to do my part as a taxpayer. And like I said, I don't really understand the intricacies of political decisions, but what I am basing my belief in is that a seasoned veteran of serving his country and loving his country and sacrificing, I believe there is a man there that is deep enough and insightful enough that the direction will be the right direction.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Mark. Do you share Mark's enthusiasm for John McCain, or do you have another horse in this race? We'll talk about that when we get back. And also, I'd like to pursue this idea of the conservative movement. Is it dead? Is conservatism strictly a defensive political agenda? Does it need to be on offense? Does it need to be renamed? We'll also be talking to John Lott, one of my favorite authors, author of the great book More Guns, Less Crime. Latest book is called Freedomnomics. We'll be getting an update from him on the D.C. gun ban when we get back. Joseph Ferris sitting in for the G-Man. 1-800-GG-LIDDY is the number. Back after this.
Folks, don't you think you deserve to live without pain? Pain affects every aspect of your health, such as your relationships and the way you cope with stress and how well you sleep and how well I know that. Because just 2 days ago, I did it again to my back and I couldn't sleep. I was all right standing up, moving around, but when I lay down in bed, I got pains from my buttocks all the way down into my thighs and the small of my back. And then I turn over and it would be just as bad. And fortunately, I had some pain-free left from the last time I mess myself up. I spread it on, rubbed it in, and you get an immediate cold sensation, and then it got warm, and then I just fell right to sleep. Living pain-free is real, folks. I know. I've used it, and it's proven to be remarkably effective. Look, grab a pen. Call 866-920-PAIN. 866-920-PAIN. Try it this week and receive free shipping plus a free one-month supply. That's 866-920-PAIN.
Seasons may come and go, but my allergies are here to stay. That's why I'm Claritin Clear. Claritin relieves my outdoor allergies, and I discovered it relieves my indoor allergies too. Whether it's dust, mold, or even my dog Rex. Claritin clears the way, relieving my worst indoor allergy symptoms. Only non-drowsy Claritin is proven to make me alert and focused so I can think more clearly. Because when I'm alert, I'm at my best. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear, indoors and out.
Use it directed. Only brand clinically tested.
Nature's Youth RSF is designed to reverse the effects of aging by boosting HGH levels. The science is described at naturesyouth.com. I get the G-Man Show emails every day, and RSF does seem to work wonders. People say they experience better sleep, better skin, lower fat, and even better vision. At 1-800-478-7111, they've agreed to a whole set of free and special offers to induce you just to try it. Just call them and give it a try. RSF, Rejuvenation Support Formula. 1-800-478-7111.
Hi, Mom.
What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. What's with the 4 million people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coupe, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, the founder of eHarmony.com. And here's real-life eHarmony member Beth talking about how eHarmony is different from other websites.
All the other sites, it was pretty much just the same as, like, going trolling at the bar, except you were in your own house.
When you're ready for something more, visit eHarmony.com and discover what it's like to be matched based on deep compatibility. Log on today and you can review your matches absolutely free. eHarmony.com.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call now for your free copy of Dr. Katz's Bad Breath Bible, and you'll also receive a free trial of his clinical TheraBreath formulas proven to eliminate occasional or chronic bad breath. Call now to guarantee fresh breath. 1-800-997-2591. That's 1-800-997-2591. 1-800-997-2591. Call now.
If you're like Christine, who joined me on the Dr. Phil show, your mortgage is making you mad. Christine saw her rate rise to a whopping 8.5% and saw her monthly payments jump 30%. In a moment, what you need to know so this doesn't happen to you.
Today's advice from the Millionaire Zone's Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree.com. Now is the perfect time to refinance with LendingTree before your adjustable rate mortgage payments increase. Visit LendingTree.com today or call 1-800-555-TREE and you could lower your monthly payments. When banks compete, you win. See website or call for sponsorship details and licensing.
The interest rate on adjustable rate mortgages changes based on the movement of the financial index it's tied to. Say you have a 5-1 ARM. In that case, your loan's rate is fixed for 5 years and then adjusts yearly after that. Millions will see their loan payments rise in the coming months. If rising rates are scaring you, do what I did for Christine. Refinance into a fixed-rate mortgage if you plan on staying in your home a while. That way you can sleep at night and manage your budget.
With guest host Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily, this is the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
We're back. Joseph Farah here, WorldNet Daily, filling in for the G-Man. The topic overall on the table before us for the rest of this hour, is conservatism dead? Is conservatism a movement limited to defense? Is it time to reinvent it? We'll be talking about that more. Looking forward to your calls at 1-800-GG-LIDDY. We're also going to be talking to one of my favorite authors, a real expert on guns. More Guns, Less Crime, one of his famous books, The Bias Against Guns. His latest is called Freedomnomics. So we're talking about Professor John Lott. He'll be joining us momentarily. In the meantime, let's go to Chris in Nashville. What's on your mind?
Hey, Joseph. I was just calling. I wanted to respond to your comment about conservatism and whether it's dead or not. And I wanted to say that, at least in my experience, I would strongly disagree with that. And I think that's because conservatism in general represents freedom of choice and freedom from the government controlling you. And that freedom itself is extremely open-ended. It's extremely creative. It allows for the development of new ideas of change in itself. So to say that it's a closed-ended movement is extremely, I think, wrong. It's not based on what is at least the past version of conservatism. And mind you, the neoconservatives, John McCain, George Bush, and whatnot, have a very different view of conservatism than what a Thomas Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin type character would have.
Chris, I'm not sure we disagree at all. What I'm trying to say is that, you have to measure a movement by its success. Conservative ideals have a lot going for them. They have tremendous appeal, I believe, But part of the problem has been that the message is just not getting out there. It's not resonating with the American people. We'll talk more about this subject of conservatism and why I think it needs to be reevaluated. But right now we're going to go to our good friend John Lott. Oh, okay. Let's go first. John is not ready. Let's go to Mabel in Nashville. What's on your mind, Mabel?
Well, I was going to tell you what I think about the conservatism.
Sounds good.
I feel like that it's just not being put there for us to pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
If John McCain is a conservative, he is going to have to show me more than what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of see a cold-hearted person, and I don't see him to be one that is really going to look after the citizens of our country. I just don't feel comfortable with him. I don't feel a warmness at all about him. And I feel like that's part of being a true conservative. And as far as the person was talking about our freedoms, I feel like that our freedoms are slowly being taken away from us all the time. There's just so many things that's coming about, and I just feel like we are losing out.
Thank you, Mabel. You make my point very, very well. You know, if we look at conservatism, it's really a movement that was about one person. One personality used his tremendous charm and his dedication to certain principles to make the conservative movement viable for a period of time. Even if you go back to 1964 and the candidacy of Barry Goldwater, there was Ronald Reagan in the center of it.
Yes.
And Ronald Reagan continued that movement. It grew throughout his presidency in the 1980s. And I think you can point to 1988 as a real fundamental watermark in the history of conservatism, because then we had George H.W. Bush take over as president. He redefined conservatism. You might remember, you know, him talking about a more compassionate kind of conservatism, and reaching out and trying to expand the horizons. Well, no one could possibly have expanded conservatism's horizons beyond what Ronald Reagan did, and what it resulted was a mushy kind of conservatism that we've been living with ever since. Mabel, I thank you so much. When we get back after the next break, we will, I promise you, be talking to John Lott, the author of More Guns, Less Crime, Freedomnomics. We'll be getting an update from him on where we are with the D.C. gun ban. More of the G. Gordon Liddy Show with Joseph Bair of WorldNet Daily sitting in after this. G.G. Liddy, 1-800-GG-LIDDY.
Radio has never sounded so red, white, and blue.
You do it better than anybody.
This is the best stage I've ever listened to in my life.
This is Radio America.
This is Newsbreak. Star pitcher Roger Clemens denies using performance-enhancing drugs. Clemens is at odds with his former trainer, Brian McNamee, testifying before the House Oversight Committee. The trainer says he injected Roger Clemens with performance-enhancing drugs on numerous occasions, while the star pitcher says he never did. President Bush will be signing the economic stimulus package later this afternoon. It's aimed at avoiding an economic downturn. Checks will start rolling out in May, sending checks ranging from $300 to $1,200 to virtually every household in America. Households with children will get $300 extra dollars per child. ExxonMobil is getting the support of the State Department as it tries to get what is called a fair and just compensation package for its assets from Venezuela. The battle has escalated with Hugo Chavez stopping oil exports from Venezuela to Exxon. And Bishop John Jimenez has passed away, the leader of the Rock Church International, gone at the age of...
Honey, so I'm standing here in front of you, talking, you know, and the thought I had inside that I'm making outside. You get it? Okay, so... You make me feel like, whoa, like a fireworks display, and there's a bunch of hearts, and wait, that was weird.
For just under $35, Fresh Roses quality chocolates and a card say what you can't. Get connections from Hallmark cards featuring songs by Martina McBride, only at Walmart. Save money, live better, Walmart.
When you're hungry and feeling sluggish,
It's hard to concentrate your accuracy. It's hard to focus and be accurate. And so Snickers make new Snickers Charge Bar candy bar. Snickers Charge hunger satisfies and little boost. Try being no fatigued inside. Now new Snickers Charge Bar and get back to work freshly as a daisy fresh.
When you need a little boost, try a new Snickers Charge Bar. Feast.
We're here today with Paul Dow of Timeshares Only, and Paul, you've got some terrific news for timeshare owners.
That's right. In the next 6 months, over $3.5 billion of timeshares will be sold.
So this is the perfect time to sell.
Exactly, which is why you need to get your property into our network, and if you call us right now, you'll also get a $500 shopping spree absolutely free.
$500 free?
Yes, just for posting your property with Timeshares Only. And when you do sell your property, you'll get cash. It's a double bonus. You can't lose.
Except if I don't call.
Hey, over 10 million people will be looking to buy a timeshare. So we need your property now.
The number to call now is 1-800-921-0714. That's 1-800-921-0714. Turn your timeshare into cash and get a free $500 shopping spree.
And if our lines are busy, please keep calling.
That number again for timeshares only is 1-800-921-0714. That's 1-800-921-0714.
Healthcare Now, I'm TK Anderson. Glaucoma affects 70 million people globally, yet many don't realize they're at risk. January is Glaucoma Awareness Month, and a recent international survey of more than 4,300 people over 40 found that 40% were not aware glaucoma causes blindness, and less than half had their eyes checked in the past year. Dr. Robert Weinreb is the director of the University of California San Diego's Hamilton Glaucoma Center.
Glaucoma is not often diagnosed until vision loss has already occurred. Two key steps to help people preserve their vision are learning the risk factors and getting regular, complete eye exams.
The survey is part of the All Eyes on Glaucoma campaign to educate the public about risk factors and how appropriate diagnosis may slow progression of the disease.
Accurate diagnosis and appropriate treatment of glaucoma can prevent damage to the optic nerve and preserve healthy vision, which is why visits to an eye specialist are so important.
For more, visit alleyesonglaucoma.com. That's Healthcare Now, sponsored by Pfizer. I'm TK Anderson.
Hi, Mom. What's all this?
I got you a cell phone, the Coupe from Verizon Wireless. Check it out. It's got a big keypad, easy-to-read screen, plus dedicated buttons for emergency contacts. It's everything you need.
Great. What's with 4 million people?
Oh, that's the network. They come with it.
Hi.
Good to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Hola.
Say hello to the Coupe, backed by the Good Housekeeping Seal. Exclusively from America's most reliable wireless network, Verizon Wireless. Call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN today.
I've always wanted to jump out of perfectly good planes, but it takes more than a little change to pick up a hobby like that. That's why I signed up for Way to Save.
Introducing Way to Save. Just by using your check card to make purchases, $1 is automatically transferred from your free checking to a high-interest savings account. Plus, Wachovia will pay you on top of your interest rate. So stop by a Wachovia Financial Center near you. Call 800-WACHOVIA or visit wachovia.com/waytosave and start saving real money today.
Personal accounts only. Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Hey, this is Darryl Worley, and you're listening to the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
All right, we're back with the G. Gordon Liddy Show. Joseph Eyre of WorldNet Daily sitting in. We got a great opportunity before us here to hear from a real expert on the gun issue. And Professor John Lott is the author of More Guns, Less Crime, The Bias Against Guns, and his most recent book, Freedomnomics. And you've heard him many times on the G. Gordon Liddy Show talk about the legal ramifications of the Second Amendment and the issue of self-defense and all that means. This is your opportunity to talk to John Lott at 1-800-GG-LIDDY. John, I wanted to check in with you today to get an update on the challenge to Washington, D.C.'s gun ban law. We haven't heard much about it lately. Tell us where we are.
Well, things are surely heating up. The court's going to be hearing the case in less than a month. And a lot of briefs have been filed over the last couple weeks, and I think it's starting to look pretty strong. I mean, I guess I've always felt it looks strong with regard to the notion of whether the court would find that there was an individual right to own a gun. The other side really hasn't seemed to have its heart in trying to push the argument that there's some type of right of the states that was guaranteed, or militia right that was guaranteed, as opposed to an individual right. But they mainly have been trying to argue on policy grounds, and also been arguing that a different, even if it's an individual right, a different standard should somehow be used for the Second Amendment as compared to the First or any of the other amendments in determining whether the government's gone too far in trying to regulate things. Unfortunately, we're not really in a position where anybody's arguing or the court's really going to consider the Second Amendment banning gun control laws. The question is going to be what's reasonable. How much of a level proof, standard of proof, does the government have to meet before a law would be allowed? And you've had some disappointments in this. The Department of Justice under the Bush administration was arguing that a lower standard, just something that that the government needed to make a strong case, essentially, rather than a really high bar that they had to go and show that there was no other way of really accomplishing their public safety goals that they wanted to accomplish. But I think with a lot of the briefs that have been filed, I think things are looking pretty good. And the government has a really hard case, or D.C. has a really hard case here, because if they want to go and argue policy, you'd think that they could point to something that would go and show that the D.C. gun bans reduced murders or violent crime. And yet, Supreme Court lives in D.C. They know what the situation of the crime rate's been there. Everybody in the whole country knows how bad it's gotten. I'll just give you a couple brief statistics. If the gun ban went into effect in early 77, there's only been 1 year after the ban went into effect where the murder rate was as low as it was in 1976. If you look in 29 of the years after the gun ban went into effect that we have crime data for, 15 of those years, D.C. was either number one or number two in terms of murder rates for cities over 500,000 people in this country. In another 4 years, it was number four.
Unbelievable.
So about two-thirds of the time after the gun ban went into effect, it's been in the top four. There was nothing anywhere even remotely close to that in terms of rankings prior to the gun ban going in there. And so D.C.'s murder rate not only went up after the gun ban, but it went up relative to other large cities, it went up relative to Virginia and Maryland, it went up relative to the United States as a whole. And that increase started immediately after the ban went into place.
John, this is an issue of deep concern for those of us who live and work in the D.C. area. We're very familiar with the strict gun restrictions in D.C. But tell us how this will affect people throughout the United States. How important is this to setting a new standard for the whole country?
Well, the point of this is just to take kind of one step at a time. To say, first of all, that the Second Amendment has some meaning. It's been classified for a number of years as kind of the forgotten Second Amendment, just like the Ninth and the Tenth Amendments to the Constitution have often been viewed as forgotten amendments. And the key thing is here, if it means anything, it means you just can't go and ban guns. When it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, I mean, you would think most normal regular citizens reading the term shall not be infringed would think that you can't have any gun laws. Here, we're just trying to deal with one part, just saying, is a ban going too far? Is that an infringement? And I think it should be a fairly straightforward case. If we were to lose that, then there's nothing that that gun control laws would be restricted in doing. But once you win that, then it's going to be, well, then what does constitute a reasonable regulation? And that's where the courts are going to have to be drawing lines. What standard that they pick for requiring government evidence to show that the government has a narrowly tailored rule to accomplish a certain precise objective, if that's the standard that the court adopts, will at least put some burden on them. But, of course, You look at something like the First Amendment, where it seems pretty clear also, where it says Congress shall pass no laws. And yet you look at campaign finance regulations, and essentially the courts come down to say, well, rather than passing no laws, Congress shall be able to pass laws when it has a really good reason for doing so.
Excellent example. We've been talking about that earlier today. John, tell us about the Bush administration's role in this case.
Well, the Department of Justice put out a brief a couple weeks ago where it was kind of trying to split the baby in half, where it was saying that there was an individual right to own a gun, but the standard that they would want the courts to use to evaluate particular laws was set so low that even likely a ban could pass constitutional muster. There's an interesting development this last week, however. Dick Cheney signed an amicus brief that came out very strongly on this issue, saying it was an individual right, saying that a very high standard had to be used to evaluate any type of gun control laws, essentially the same standard used for the other amendments in the Bill of Rights, essentially what you would want yourself, I'm sure. And it's interesting because it's the first time in American history that a vice president has signed an amicus brief and essentially put him at odds with the Department of Justice brief. And I guess I'm not too surprised that Dick Cheney would be the one guy to do that. When he was in Congress, he had an impeccable record when it came to gun control issues. I'll just give you one example. There was legislation that passed during the 1986 banning so-called plastic guns. Well, there's no such thing as a plastic gun. There's never been any such thing as a purely plastic gun. The bill was passed in part because the New York Times was making historical claims about Glocks being terrorist specials because of the polymer frame. But yet Glocks have at least a pound of metal in them in terms of the barrel of the gun there. You have a plastic or ceramic type barrel, it's going to shatter and explode if you try to fire a bullet through it. And Dick Cheney was one of only four members of Congress that voted against that law when it came up. So, you know, it's maybe not too surprising, but it is an amazing historical precedent that that the vice president would feel that this was an important enough issue to essentially go against the Justice Department on it.
Right. He recently joined 55 senators and 250 House members in asking the court to find that the Second Amendment protects an individual's right to possess firearms and to uphold the lower court's ruling that the D.C. ban violates that right. And, of course, that position is at odds with the one put forward by the administration. So, you know, John, if you had to guess today, we look at the court, everybody likes to do this, speculate about where they might come down on this. It would seem like there are three or four solid votes on the court right now in favor of the constitutional position. Where might that fifth vote come from?
Well, I think there are two issues here, and it kind of divides along the lines we were just talking about with the DOJ thing. One is, I think there'll be a large majority, or there could very well be a large majority that says it's an individual right. And one reason why I'm optimistic about that is, you look at the briefs on the other side. They just don't really want to even argue that too much because I think they know that it's not a very plausible claim to make that this was an amendment just to protect government's rights to be able to own guns and not individuals. I mean, the term, the right of the individual, is used in the First and the Fourth Amendment. There's a long history of judicial cases on this. And I think, you know, historically and everything else, it's just something that I don't think they are going to argue very forcefully. They'll go through the motions on it, but the amount of space that they've spent on it in their briefs is relatively small. The big thing that they're going is after the public policy issue. So what I think is going to happen is the court, with a strong majority, will say it's an individual right. But then the question is, what does it mean? Because we can always just say something's an individual right, but it doesn't actually affect the government in any way. It doesn't restrict it. And I think that's where the tires hit the road. And, you know, it's a risky case going forward. I mean, you never know. Politics enters into so much of this rather than just simply reading the term shall not infringe, and or Congress shall pass no laws, as we talked about with Reforth. I think we have four solid votes, most likely. And then
Roberts, Alito, Scalia, Thomas.
Right, and Roberts. Mm-hmm. And I think Ginsburg might be a surprise on this. She's had
be a surprise to me.
She's had a footnote in the past where she lumped in the Second Amendment along with other amendments for individual rights. And I think it's crucial that she be brought in because Kennedy likes to kind of draw, you know, kind of cut the baby in half, so to speak. And I think that's what the Department of Justice brief was aimed at, was to try to sell the case to Kennedy that he could say it's an individual right, but yet make it restrictive enough that it really didn't mean anything. But if you have Ginsburg that can kind of follow the hints that she's written before on this type of thing, then I think Kennedy will come in because he's not going to be the swing vote on it. So my guess is it will win on both issues, but the second one I'm a lot less sure on.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I'm just so skeptical of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, supporting the constitutional position. I hope you're right. We're talking to John Lott. He's the author of More Guns, Less Crime, The Bias Against Guns, and his latest, Freedomnomics. We're talking about the D.C. gun ban and the impending Supreme Court case on that. If you'd like to ask John a question or make a comment on this topic, give us a call at 1-800-GG-LIDDY. John, what can individual gun owners all over this country hope to expect? What's the best and worst case scenario?
Well, I think the best scenario is probably a narrow ruling that just says a ban is too much. We say maybe other regulations might be allowed, but a ban infringes people's right to own guns, keep and bear arms. The worst thing, and then there'll be a series of small steps after that, you know, one law at a time that may go to Chicago then, where the court's going to draw the line on what's a reasonable versus an unreasonable regulation, and who knows where they're going to draw the line after that point. But I think it'd still be important to say the government can't ban guns. The worst case scenario is that they say, whether they say it's an individual right or whatever, but then they go and they say the D.C. gun ban is allowed to stay in place. Because if the courts say that a ban does not constitute an unconstitutional infringement on people's right to keep and bear arms, then there's no gun law that's ever going to be struck down or ever be court curtailed if you can't strike down a ban. And it's a big gamble. And I think the issue that we face right now is not just this case, but there are going to be other cases that are going to be coming up. And one of the risks that we face is what the Department of Justice asked for is that the case be remanded back to lower court, and then we'd see no decision really, or not much of an important decision on the ban itself, until maybe 4 years down the line. And who knows what the court's going to look like there. It's very likely we're going to have a couple retirements, and Ginsburg and John Paul Stevens, it could make it, if a Democrat wins the presidency, we may be in really tough shape then.
John Lott, I want to thank you for being with us. Great, great book, More Guns, Less Crime. Win the argument once and for all around the water cooler with More Guns, Less Crime, and his latest one, Freedomnomics, makes a great gift. We'll be back with more of the G. Gordon Liddy Show. Joseph Era sitting in, 1-800-GG-LIDDY. Back after this.
Does the recent collapse of the subprime mortgage market concern you? What about the possibility of a worldwide credit crunch? The dollar continues to fall, the price of oil continues to rise, and the stock market is taking wild swings. The war in Iraq continues on, and a crisis looms with Iran. All of these issues weigh heavily on the U.S. economy. Through all this uncertainty, the price of gold continues to rise. Investing in gold is a great way to protect your assets against volatility in the stock market and to help round out your portfolio. Call Capital Gold Group at 800-510-9594 today for their free gold investment guide. The price of gold has gone up over 20% in 2007, and some analysts expect gold to hit $1,000 per ounce. Call 800-510-9594, and you can also learn how to transfer 401ks and IRAs into a gold-backed IRA. That's 800-510-9594 or safeasgold.com.
The problem with computers? I don't have a computer, and email seems to be the only way people communicate anymore, especially my grandkids. Then I found out that I didn't need a computer to receive emails and photos. All I needed was my regular phone line and the new Presto service with the HP printing mailbox. It's so easy. Take it out of the box, plug it into the phone jack, and presto, you're connected. You don't have to do a thing. Emails and photos from family and friends print out automatically. It's so easy, you have to see it for yourself. Presto will even send you information, absolutely free. Just call 1-800-997-7936. Now you can receive emails and photos from your friends and family without having an expensive, hard-to-use computer. All you need is your regular phone line, so pick up the phone. Call right now for your free information. The number is 1-800-997-7936. 1-800-997-7936. That's 1-800-997-7936.
Are you a severe driver? If you sit in stop-and-go traffic, you are a severe driver and should change your oil every 3 months or 3,000 miles. Right now at Pep Boys, pick up 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a Purolator oil filter for only $12.99. That's right, only $12.99. Limit 2. So get to Pep Boys today for great deals on all your parts and supplies. And backed by popular demand, buy 3 tires at Pep Boys. Get the 4th one free after mail-in rebate. Some restrictions apply. Only at Pep Boys.
Seasons may come and go, but my allergies are here to stay. That's why I'm Claritin Clear. Claritin relieves my outdoor allergies, and I discovered it relieves my indoor allergies too, whether it's dust, mold, or even my dog Rex. Claritin clears the way, relieving my worst indoor allergy symptoms. Only non-drowsy Claritin is proven to make me alert and focused so I can think more clearly, because when I'm alert, I'm at my best. 24-hour non-drowsy Claritin. Live Claritin Clear, indoors and out.
Use as directed. Only brand clinically tested.
Are you a severe driver? If you sit in stop-and-go traffic, you are a severe driver and should change your oil every 3 months or 3,000 miles. Right now at Pep Boys, pick up 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a Purolator oil filter for only $12.99. That's right, only $12.99. Limit 2. So get to Pep Boys today for great deals on all your parts and supplies. And backed by popular demand, buy 3 tires at Pep Boys. Get the 4th one free after mail-in rebate. Some restrictions apply. Only at Pep Boys.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24-7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you have diabetes, then you know your meter is your lifeline. Luckily for you, new meters are more accurate and are easier to use. And the best news is, with our new alternate site meters, you don't have to prick your fingers anymore. And if you're covered by Medicare, Access Diabetic Supply will send you one of these new meters at no cost to you. Medicare patients may even qualify to have all their supplies fully covered with no out-of-pocket costs. We'll even bill Medicare for you directly. There's no upfront costs, and the supplies will be delivered right to your door for free. Yes, free home delivery. Call now and find out why thousands of diabetics choose Access. If you're covered by Medicare and you want to learn how to receive a new meter, call this number now.
800-515-6319. 800-515-6319. Operators are standing by. Call now. 800-515-6319. 800-515-6319.
called for a day without Mexicans or something like that.
Day without Latinos.
Yeah, day without Latinos.
It's a scary thought, isn't it?
Couldn't it be a week or a month? I mean, how about like forever?
Live from Washington, D.C., steps from the White House, sitting in for G. Gordon Liddy, the founder of WorldNet Daily, Joseph Vera.
The day the leaf growers all went silent.
That was me with the G-Man, Joseph Farah, sitting in today and tomorrow and maybe even Friday if I'm lucky and I don't blow it on this show. You know, I want to close today in the limited time we have talking about something you may have heard of. One of Obama's volunteer offices in Houston was caught operating under a huge flag of communist Cuba with Che Guevara's face printed on it. And you may have seen this on Fox News or in WorldNet Daily. And rather than repudiate the image, Obama would only call it inappropriate, apparently without insisting that it be taken down. And, you know, maybe people have forgotten who Che Guevara really was. He was born in Argentina in 1928, originally trained to become a doctor at the University of Buenos Aires. In 1952, he embarked on a trip dramatized in The Motorcycle Diaries across South America. After returning to Buenos Aires to complete his medical degree, he set off again to travel through the Americas. He participated in leftist movements in Guatemala and Mexico and became acquainted with Cuban expatriates in those countries. He joined Castro's revolutionary Cuban army in 1956 as a top commander and Castro's personal physician and helped Castro topple the regime in Havana in 1959. As Castro's right-hand man in the new regime, Guevara ordered the execution of hundreds of people while in charge of the notorious La Caba prison in Havana. He was unapologetic about the mass killings of innocent people, explaining, "To send men to the firing squad, judicial proof is unnecessary. These procedures are an archaic bourgeois detail. This is a revolution, and a revolutionary must become a cold killing machine, motivated by pure hate." Do you think that office in Houston, of the Barack Obama campaign, ought to be shut down? We can pursue that tomorrow on the G. Gordon Liddy Show. This is Joseph Farah, honored to be sitting in for the G-Man. Hope to see you and hear from you tomorrow at same time, same place.
This is the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
Radio has never sounded so red, white, and blue.
You do it better than anybody.
We stay up every night listening to this station.
This is Radio America.